Today's Veterans Radio program is dedicated to Congressman John Dingell.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
Good morning. Good morning out there, all you veterans and non-veterans listening here to Veterans Radio. That's right. We have another live program coming to you from beautiful southeastern Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's right, at Domino's headquarters, the Prairie House. And with me, I'm looking at him as my partner, co-founder, bon vivant of Cafe Society. There he is, former helicopter pilot with the, Ghostbusters. There we go.
No, that's the movie. Well, no, 195th Assault Helicopter Company. We were in a Sky Chiefs gun platoon. We're the Thunder Chickens.
Well, he is right here giving us a little semi-thunder because he's my partner for today. Oh, we have to go look down. Oh, okay. All right, so we need to speak up a little bit more. And introducing, of course, the lovely Nina on the board, and she's waving hello. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, there she is. She's waving. And also with me, I'm going to introduce, is Ray Hunter from the Yankee Air Museum, Willow Run. This guy's the big guy. He's the director. But right now, on the air with us, and Nina, stand by. You know what all this is about. Right now is Congressman John Dingell, but before that, hit it. Yeah, the strains of the Supremes and Mary Wilson were ringing throughout Washington this past Thursday as a whole bunch of folks got together. That's right. To honor truly a great man, the longest serving congressperson ever. And at 20,997th day on that Thursday, that song was sung by, yes, we're looking here, Nancy Pelosi. Oh, that must have been really something. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius and also Mary Wilson from the Supremes were singing Stop in the Name of Love. And there it was. Everybody was getting together. There were Democrats. There were Republicans. And they were there to honor Congressman John Dingell. I want to very quickly read this very quickly, and Congressman, stay there. We'll be right with you. John Dingell has been called one of the last wise men in Washington. How about that, Dale?
Well, we know I'm not going to comment on that.
No,
agree that Congressman Dingell obviously is one of them.
He's a facilitator.
I know. He knows, of the few, it seems like.
He knows how to bring people together. He was a public servant, and he believes in democracy and to have everybody participate in democracy. Some of the things, and I'm going to very briefly, we recommend you folks Google Congressman John Dingell and get all the legislation and all the work that he's done for the American people as well as to the veteran. Some of the things, he is an avid conservationist and outdoorsman, that's right, and he does support the right to bear arms. I want to say that because there's a lot of veterans out there that are hunters and like their rifles and pistols, etc. He wrote the Endangered Species Act, the 1990 Clean Air Act, Safe Drinking Water Act. I mean, listen to this, folks. He had legislation to build North America's first international wildlife refuge. He had so many avenues and introductions into conservational programs. He also helped, or he did, I probably should get this correct, authored the Affordable Care Act. And a quote from the congressman, America is the greatest country in the world. Democracy is the greatest form of government, and I'm dedicated to preserving it and working together toward a common goal. Audience, Veterans Radio, I want to welcome Congressman John Dingell. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Congressman.
Well, God bless you, Bob. It's always a privilege and a great pleasure to be with you. And thank you, my friend, for what you and your program do not just for the veterans, but for this country that we all love.
And what do you have on? What do you have today? What is it on the agenda today?
Well, I'm going to have the privilege of being the Grand Marshal of the parade in Southgate. And then we have a number of events after I'm the Grand Marshal there. Around, we already have a big parade in Ypsilanti, which is a wonderful town and where the people are really good and trying to make things go. And we're going to finish up late tonight with an event over on Woodward Avenue in Detroit.
Whoa.
To celebrate the Symphony Orchestra here, which does wonderful work for our people.
Well, then again, this is also your day. In fact, I have with me Ray Hunter, who, Ray, I know you had something to say. You're with the Yankee Air Museum out at Willow Run.
Yes. Congressman, first of all, on behalf of the members of the Yankee Air Museum, I'd like to thank you for your service, not only to your country as a service member, but also your service, your long service, now a record service to our country as a representative of southeastern Michigan. And on behalf of the museum, I would like to personally invite you for a B-17 flight. And if it works out, I'll be flying it. It would be my pleasure. And we could probably fly right over your house.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. That's an aircraft I never flew in. I flew in the B-18, and I've flown in jets and stuff. But never a B-17. That's an iconic aircraft.
Sir.
And let me say one thing about you and the Yankee Air Museum. Thank you for what you do. You are saving a great piece of American history, and it would be a real shame to lose it. And one of the things that you have shown remarkable courage in is not just starting the museum, but in standing up to that damnable fire that hit you and caused you such grief and pain. And you're coming back, and you deserve the support and enthusiasm and affection of every American for what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that, sir. And if you've never flown a B-17 before, it will be an absolute pleasure for you to do so, and I can promise you that nobody will be shooting at you.
Well, I've had that too, but I'm not looking forward to any more wars, but I sure would love to fly in one of those great aircraft, and I'll be on trying to get a date fixed when we can do so, but when we can do so at least cost you difficulty to you folks, because you've got a great, great thing going, and you need all the support and help you can get.
Thank you, sir. It'll be our pleasure.
Okay, Congressman, you served in, we were having a little debate here now, your bio does not have it. Was it the Army or the Navy?
I was an infantryman in World War II.
And
but I've got to be honest with you, Bob, I never did anything to be worth talking about. I had two events that almost happened. The first was I was almost in the bulge, but 3,000 guys, and I was one of them, at Camp Blanding, Florida, wound up with meningitis, and so I was pulled out of the deployment, and I got to say to God thank you because of my company of 210 men, 10 came back, and then of course I was scheduled to be in the first wave into Japan as a second lieutenant infantry, and Harry Truman ruined the whole darn thing by dropping a bomb.
Yeah, he did, but to our advantage, to our luck, you became a congressperson, and you have been such an advocate. God bless you, sir. I want to shake your hand on that. Thank you. Thank you. And I have had the privilege, folks, of shaking Congressman Dingell's hand. Dale, you had something to add?
No, I just wanted to thank Congressman Dingell for his service over the last 55 years. Or
no,
20,000 hours.
I think it happened on 1955. Isn't that right, Congressman Dingell?
December 13th, 1955.
I lived in Detroit. I remember the headlines. The Detroit Times had the headlines that your father had passed away and you had assumed that particular seat in Congress. And how many years is that, guys? Come on, 45 and 13 is 58, right?
To me, it comes down to about 57 years and a few days. Actually, it's just a shade more than 21,000 days. But remember, my good friends, I had to fight to get the job, although my dad's name sure made it easy. But the other thing was that we don't look at how long, my friends. It is how well. And the important thing is, I've done my job well, I've taken care of my people, and I've been an honest public servant. That's the thing that's important.
Well, we want to thank you again. We didn't no politics today, no Washington. This was your moment. We dedicated this program to you. We're going to be talking more with the Willow Run people. We even have a Rosie the Riveter, Congressman. Absolutely. We found a Rosie the Riveter living close by. And she...
Well, I remember those days. I was out at Willow Run when they were starting to build the B-24s. And most people, I think, forget how important our people in Southeast Michigan were. We built more bombers in B-24s than any other bomber in the world. We also built a huge number of tanks, something like 55 or 60,000 tanks we built out at the Chrysler Tank Arsenal, and all kinds of other weapons and things, trucks in huge numbers, aircraft engines. This was the arsenal of democracy, and it was our people here in Michigan, particularly in the Southeast, that helped us to win the war. And without our people here, it probably would have been a lot harder or might not have happened.
And we had that workforce because they were doing mass production. We're talking UAW, that's right, and their veteran effort, the United Auto Workers. Those were the kind of worker pool that we could draw from here for Willow Run and to build those airplanes. They had the top, anything that flew out of Willow Run, how about it, guys? Huh? All the bolts worked and all the wires were attached correctly. Congressman Dingell, you have a great, great day for you. We'll be thinking about you all day today, and I would like you to stay on the line. I'm going to say my goodbye. Dale, you want to say anything right now?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
And Ray?
Thanks again for your service, Congressman.
Well, God love you all, and thank you for what you do.
Okay, but
I am so proud of you at Veterans Radio, and I've got to hang up with apologies because I've got to get out south to be in the parade there.
Can you give us 1 minute here as we do a musical tribute to you?
Please? I will do that with pleasure.
Okay, and until the next time, we'll be talking with you, Nina.
Oh, God bless you, Bob.
God bless you, sir. Us at Veterans Radio, all of our listeners, and here at Ave Maria Radio, Ave Maria Network, we want to wish you Godspeed, Congressman Dingell, and God bless you. We'll be right back, folks.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
This is what they heard coming in on the wing and the prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one more door, we can still carry on. Coming in on a wing and a prayer.
What a show!
Okay, well, I'd like Nina to look that up. Who was the orchestra behind that? That was a big song in the 40s, 1942, 41, and it was big in the bond raising. See, I remember this stuff. This is my stuff, because my mother was very much, my dad and mom were definitely patriots, and we collected all the tinfoil and goodness knows anything else that we could do. It's all part of that. But anyway, part of that, too, and they would take me and my brother out in our Pontiac, 1946 Pontiac. Yes, we'd go out to Willow Run and watch the Liberators, the B-24. That's right. That started at Willow Run Airport, a little small airport in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Where's Ypsilanti, Michigan? Just outside of Detroit. That's right. It's west of Detroit by about 40 miles, right off the freeway. But it didn't have a freeway back then. In fact, they had a lot of cows and chickens and horses, and that's about it. Willow Run. So when I think of coming in on a wing and a prayer, I can just see those B-17s and B-24s coming in. They're all shot up, but, boy, they're going to make it back to the airfield. Let me read you something from the book, The Story of Willow Run by Marion Wilson. Willow Run. Willow Run, the name. What does it mean? It's a quiet stream that flows into the Huron River, and it's a gracious chapel nearby. It was a place where Indians camped and hunted, and where pioneers cleared the forest, built their cabins, settled, and farmed the land. Willow Run was a camp for boys where they learned to farm, to live in the open, to work above the land. The name stands for the giant plant first run by Henry Ford, where B-24 bombers were built to help gain victories in World War II. And with me right now is the person to talk about Willow Run, Mr. Ray Hunter. And you know what? I'm going to read all this stuff, too, because I've been saving this in a moment. Ah, yeah, there we go. Oh, my partner here got, yes, he always, you're right, you're flying wing, right? There you go,
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I'll fly on your wing today.
He grew up, Ray Hunter grew up in a small mining town in western PA, he's a Pennsylvania boy, in 1954. He enlisted in the United States Air Force. But then, in 1959, yep, he did his four years, he was discharged honorably from the Air Force and attended college at the University of Pittsburgh. Wildcats. Pittsburgh?
Panthers.
Oh, Panthers. Oh, Bulldogs. No. He had his B.S. degree in Air Force pilot training in Alabama. Following a year of pilot training, he was flying C-47s. That's right. If you look at the history of airborne, 101st and 82nd, that's what they jumped out of. And that was the DC-3. DC-3, who built that?
Douglas.
And they also built the B-17, didn't they? No, that was Boeing. Okay, I got to get it all right here, folks. But this plane, the DC-3, was indestructible. I think they're still flying a bunch of them now.
Yeah, the Yankee Air Force actually has a flyable B-7, flyable C-47 that we fly regularly.
Oh, can you go for a trip on that?
Yeah, you sure can.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here, folks. I'm still reading the guy's bio. So they became the C-47s. When you see the 101st and 82nd jumping out at 0130 hours on the 6th of June, they were in C-47s, a.k.a. as the DC-3. He then worked at duties in Ann Arbor, commander of the Air Force ROTC program at the University of Michigan. He also flew helicopters, and my partner, co-founder here, Dale Thronberry. Dale, did you throw any helicopters or pilot any at any time? Did you do that? Just a few, right?
Yeah, about 2,500 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Dale was. In fact, there never was. You still are a pilot, hmm? Still feel it, yeah.
It would be really dangerous, I think, but probably could happen.
Yeah. You just got to get that. Dale flew helicopters. Dale was known as a slick pilot, and Ray Hunter was known as a medevac.
Right. I did fly Air Force rescue helicopters at Ben Hoa Air Base in Vietnam, 1970 and 71. By that time, the war in Southeast Asia was winding down, so I don't really have any exciting stories to tell you. But
it was just exciting to be there,
yeah,
man.
It absolutely was.
You know, that's a lot of things that we hear that about veterans. I think that we are, I don't think it's self-defacing. Well, you know, you did your job. You kept the peace. You walk guard at 2 o'clock in the morning on a motor pool. Who cares? Anybody going to come here? But you did it. You were told to do, and you do it. You did your job. You did what you were told. Let me finish this, please, because Ray Hunter has been a volunteer at the Yankee Air Museum since 1986. He's been a member of the Board of Directors, and he is currently the chairman of the Board of Directors. So in his first year as chairman, he had, get this, folks, the Yankee Air Museum recognized as a Smithsonian affiliate museum. Oh, boy, I wish we had that queued up. Do we have that applause queued up? Yeah, nope, she doesn't. Okay, because that should get a big round of applause. He also volunteers as a B-17 pilot for the Yankee Air Museum, as you just found out, and he invited Congressman Dingell to be his guest. And, boy, what a flight that would be. Dale? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, maybe. Oh, a couple of other dudes just might be able to slip on there. I did one time do the B-17. They do have, it's all part of the Yankee Air Museum, and it's at Willow Run Airport. And what's the Lady Be Good? What is the name of it?
Yankee Lady.
Yankee Lady, that's it. And Colonel Hunter was the pilot. And I was very fortunate to get a chance to go up as a journalist. And I remember one thing. I remember they have a dome out there in the fuselage, and it was open to get air in. And we were flying around Detroit, and I was going to stick my head out just to see. I mean, up at the top of the aircraft, take a look, right? You never get that look again. And I remember the crew chief saying, "Don't stick your head out there unless you take your hat off." Because I think that hat would have been gone, right? So anyway, I've been on that flight. I've flown over the Ambassador Bridge. I've flown over Detroit. I've flown down 8 Mile and came back to Willow Run, and my pilot was Ray Hunter. Ray Hunter, Colonel, retired. You've got so many years service, military service. What a distinguished career you have. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you for having me here, Bob. I do appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to the people. The Yankee Air Museum was founded in 1981 by a group of dedicated individuals whose original purpose was to bring a Ford-built B-24 back to Willow Run. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Of the nearly 9,000 B-24s that were built at Willow Run, there are only 4 left.
Why is that? I mean, funding would be one thing, but...
Well, after the war, there was no commercial use for the B-24, and so they were pretty much scrapped.
Unless you wanted to strafe Pittsburgh or something.
Unless you had a wartime mission in mind, there was really no commercial use for the B-24. Anyway, there's one there's one in Canada, there are 2 in England, and there's 1 in the United States. And if we are successful in saving the bomber plant, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Oh, we will be successful, I guarantee it.
If we're successful in that endeavor, there's a very, very good chance that we will bring a Ford-built B-24 back to Willow Run.
Let me just digress a little bit, folks. On my father's knee, back in the 40s. And, yes, I was old enough for that. Saw a lot of things going on. My parents were very patriotic and very much very, very strong on the on supporting the war effort for the United States. That they he told me, and there were two facts. One, that President Roosevelt, I remember that, he never called him Roosevelt, it was Roosevelt. President Roosevelt and Henry Ford were in a car, an open touring car, and they stopped somewhere near Willow Run, and the president said to Henry Ford, I want you to build a bomber plant here, and I want the first airplane to come off in 6 months. That was fact number one. We're going to find out, myth or mythology, or is it the truth? We'll find that out. Number two, okay, building materials are in short supply, and this was not the most supplied spot in the world to get to. However, Henry Ford, being the creative genius that he was, and of course the mechanical genius, he came up with an idea. Use the trees that were on the property to build the hangars. Now that was really quite innovative. Is that true, Ray?
Yes, it is true. Henry Ford used the lumber that was harvested right off the site of the Willow Run bomber plant. Used it in many ways. One of which was to produce the flooring and the roofs on several of the hangars.
Were the floors wood too?
The floors were a wood parquet. There were 4x4 wooden blocks. They were used primarily for sound reduction. Within this noisy bomber plant.
Wouldn't that be slippery? Wood and oil and grease and...
No, the oil was pretty much absorbed by the wood. I visited the bomber plant recently, and there's still quite a number of those blocks everywhere.
I know that, and we'll get into this in just a moment, that... how many buildings were built out of? I mean, we're not talking little garages, folks. How big were some of those hangars?
Well, the factory itself was designed by Albert Kahn, the world-famous engineer.
Wow!
Or world-famous architect, I should say.
It's
5 million square feet. The plant was 2 or 3 miles long. It had a...
Miles long?
It had
miles
a,
long?
Miles. It had a slight... downgrade so that the B-24s could be pushed very easily. It varied 30 feet in elevation from one part of the bomber plant to the other part. A side story to that was that when the bomber plant was designed, they ran out of space. They were going to encroach into Wayne County, so Henry designed a 90-degree turn in the bomber plant, complete with a turntable that was used to turn the airplanes 90 degrees. This, of course, was to avoid paying taxes in two different counties.
I love it.
So he kept the bomber plant in Washtenaw County.
And he kept it in budget, right?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Responsible.
And the part of the bomber plant that the Yankee Air Museum is trying to save is the very part where the bombers finally rolled out, completed, and were able to start the engines and taxi away on their own.
Now, we do have standing on the line, and I want to say to Wilma, Wilma Foster will be right with you in a moment. We're going to be taking a break, but we'd like you to stay with us. You'll be able to hear everything on your handset, because I'm going to finish up with Ray, at least about the history of world of Willow Run. Now, we've got about a minute and a half before the break. So... When did the first bomber did he meet the 6 month pledge that was given by President Roosevelt?
I'm not sure about that, but I do know that at peak of production they were building one bomber every 55 minutes.
Every 55 minutes, day and night, right?
Yep.
Okay, and there's all kinds of things. Dale, we got about a minute. You got something you want to?
No, I was just thinking about all of the ancillary businesses that grew up around Willow Run, because unfortunately many of them are not in existence anymore. But you can see the housing that was built in parts of Washtenaw County that were just to house the workers. It's an amazing story.
Well, in reading this book by Marion Wilson on Willow Run, they talked about after they got the plant started, well, they had to put people somewhere. And so they started building the dormitories. And virtually, they had to have a whole little city. Okay, we've got 30 seconds right now before the break. You're going to stay with us, folks. Wilma will be with you right after this short break. So please stay on the line. And you're listening right now to Veterans Radio. I have with me Ray Hunter, chairman of the board of the Yankee Air Museum. And on my left is my partner and co-founder of Veterans Radio, Dale Thronberry. So don't go away. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Major Patrick Brady rescued 51 men in one day. Details after this.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Brady was flying medevac helicopters on his second tour in Vietnam when he volunteered to rescue two badly wounded South Vietnamese soldiers in enemy territory. When he arrived, the site was shrouded in fog. He descended slowly until he saw the tops of trees and then moved sideways to the landing site. Despite heavy enemy fire, he was able to locate the soldiers and evacuated them. Brady was called to another fogged-in area where American casualties lay close to enemy lines. He lowered his chopper through the fog and found a stream bed that led to the wounded. In all, he made five flights to rescue 39 GIs. On his third mission, the controls on his chopper were hit, but he managed to get home. He got a replacement chopper and returned. On his fourth mission, Brady watched a mine explode near the landing site, forcing another medevac to leave. Brady went in and set his chopper in the skid marks of the other craft. Two crew members were carrying a stretcher to the chopper when one stepped on a mine. The explosion blew a hole in Brady's craft. He managed to get it off the ground and delivered the six severely wounded men to the aid station. He picked up another helicopter and kept flying. In all, he evacuated 51 men that day. 400 bullet holes were counted in the helicopters he flew that day. Brady went on to become a major general in the United States Army. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Nixon on October 9, 1969.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
For the past 100 years, Amish furniture craftsmen have placed great value upon the beauty and quality of their work, with great attention paid to the details of the wood. Each board is then hand-selected to match the specific furniture in mind and in achieving the desired look of the finished piece. At Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor Showroom, you will find displays of this fine craftsmanship that you can afford and own. Now is the time. You can visit Naked Furniture at 3570 Washtenaw Avenue and experience this fine quality for yourself. The furniture consultants at Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor are there to show you the fine details of Amish furniture. See for yourself the fine quality Amish furniture. Go to Naked Furniture of Ann Arbor, 3570 Washtenaw Avenue, or visit their website, nakedfurnitureofannarbor.com. Recognize that. Off we go into the wild blue yonder, and off we go into the last half hour of Veterans Radio right here on WDEO 990 AM. And I have with me, of course, my partner and co-founder, Dale Thronberry, and Colonel Ray Hunter. And we played that little Air Force because he was an Air Force colonel. Or did you retire as an Air Force colonel? Okay, yes, the answer is yes. And anyway, okay, we heard all about building these. Now, that's one thing. But we've got somebody on the line right now who was there. And with me is Wilma Foster. I have to reach over and do that. She was a Rosie the Riveter. Yes, she actually wore the babushka. I wonder how many people know what that is. But my mother had one, tied it up at the front. Right. Keep your hair out of your eyes, right? Keep the sweat. And you can build those bombers. I won't say when Wilma was born. If she wants to say that, that's up to her. But she was 16 years old when Pearl Harbor was attacked.
Just gave it away.
I know I did. I just thought of that as the words tumbled out. Sorry, Wilma. We'll get okay. And she was there, and she helped with the rationing. And then when she was 18, she went to work at the Fairchild Aircraft in Hagerstown, Maryland. I've been there. Riveting wings of the PT-19 trainer plane. So she was a Rosie the Riveter. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Wilma.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program. We're so fortunate. How was the sound in one of those plants?
How was the sound?
Yes, was it loud?
You mean the sound of the riveting guns,
yeah,
and all that?
Yeah, yeah. Did you have
to? Yeah, well, you could just imagine. But I was young, so I took it. Now I couldn't stand it.
Did you have a babushka on your head like the?
Well, my hair was very long, and with the drills and the everything like that, we had to wear something called a snood that went down underneath of your long hair and tied in a bow on top of your head, and some of the girls that did the real stooping over stuff, they did tie, and it was red and white polka dot too, and they tied that around their hair to keep their hair from falling in their face.
And
so there were two phases of how you took care of your hair there.
Did you have earplugs?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember that, but I'm sure they offered them.
No,
you. It was very close work.
You were a riveter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, folks, riveters have to have two people. You have one person put the rivet in on the inside holds, and the other person on the outside of the aircraft skin goes in with a hammer, and that flattens the head on the rivet. Is that correct as far as you know, Wilma?
Well, I don't think so now that I look back on it. When you drilled the holes, you had to have somebody, another girl, would take a piece of wood, and she held it where you drilled through the metal.
Okay.
And then that didn't tear. It should have went in very, very neat, and then it wouldn't tear the material of the wing.
Okay. And then what? You did the outside?
We did. I did some drilling, but I didn't do the bucking. They were called a bucker with a piece of wood to hold the metal taut.
You had to be.
But I did do the riveting. That gun took care of all of it. You didn't need a hammer.
Okay, but were there two people in the riveting? I'm just trying to get a picture of this. Were there two people that were doing the riveting, one
yes.
hammering away with a pneumatic hammer and the other person holding something on the other side? Is that true?
No, you didn't. You didn't have a hammer because, first of all, you had to drill the hole, right, where the rivets was going to go. And then behind that metal was the girl with the bucker, that when you put the drill bit in, it didn't pull. Sometimes if it did pull, then you almost ruined a half of a wing or whatever. And it was very tedious. And then you came along with the rivet gun with the rivets. And don't ask me what the number of the rivets are, because I can't remember.
Okay. But how many hours a day did you work at doing this?
We were between eight and 12 hours.
Wow.
Depending on the urgency, how far ahead we had to get for the plane wings.
And, we just heard that the planes were coming off once every 55 minutes. You folks were really, you were hopping around, right?
Well, there's a picture, I guess, in the museum. We have a museum now in Hagerstown, and I'm sure it shows hundreds of those little things because they were assembled at the airport. And I haven't been there yet. And I was born 1925. That you can do the math.
Okay.
But anyway, they still have them there. And I went to an air show with my daughter, and somebody in Delaware had bought up three or four of the little planes and brought them in, and they said that you can buy one for $16,000. But I don't think my backyard will hold airplanes.
Yeah, your living room might get a little crowded on the mantle, that's
yes,
for sure.
Might
yeah,
might get a little crowded. Yeah. So the kids may want to take too many rides or whatever.
Have you ever flown in a B-24? Have you?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Didn't get the chance to do that.
But
I've been listening to your program, and it's very exciting being here in Dearborn.
Ooh.
And
this is Dale. Well, I understand that you're in Dearborn, and you're going to be going out to the Yankee Air Museum later today, aren't you?
I think we are, yes. I'm not sure
what
it is.
Because they wanted to talk about, since there's a new organization, not a new organization, but there is a Rosie the Riveter organization, is it or not?
Oh, yes, that's why we're here. Women all over the country are here that have a chapter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many we have right this morning. But by tomorrow, we'll have a count of how many women that are here. And it's right. Beautiful here.
So you're having a conference in Dearborn, aren't you?
Yes, that's where I am now.
Ooh, okay.
And that runs today and tomorrow?
We'll finish up tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. With our new, we'll have to have new officers and everything mm-hmm. for the next year. This is our 15th. Meeting.
Here? Is it here in this area, or is this around the country?
No. We pick a place where
okay.
everybody can get to. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. And is this
very nice.
Is this your first visit to Willow Run?
Yes.
And
We heard about it. Of course, we were doing a small plane, but my home is near Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
And, of course, they made the big ones there, too, just like you did here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dale, do you have something? No? Ray?
Well, Wilma, thank you for your service. And I hope that you enjoy your visit to the Yankee Air Museum. And I hope that the people out there treat you well and take
yep.
care and record your story because it is worth
yep.
telling.
Absolutely.
Yep, and I'm representing a lot of women. And a lot of our daughters with us aging, they're called rosebuds. So when we're not here, they'll keep the whole thing going, I'm sure.
Okay, Wilma, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, and have a great time and a great day over at Dearborn, and then over at the Yankee Air Museum at Willow Run. You're going to be so impressed with things that they have there. They actually have some of the aircraft. They got a B-17, they got a B-52, they got a C-47. They have a B-24, Ray. I think you said not at this time. Okay. All right, but it's coming. It's coming. Wilma, thank you very much for being on the program. God bless you.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Wow. I mean, look how strong her voice is. Hmm?
I know. Can you imagine that? I know my mom, my mother-in-law was not a Rosie the Riveter, but she worked on bombing sites in New Jersey at a plant. And her job was to put they used human hair to make the sites.
That was human hair?
Yeah. And the little X inside the thing, because it was small enough or narrow enough or something like that. Anyway, she said it was great. Just the women that she worked with, it was such a great opportunity and a privilege for them to fill in for for the guys, because the guys were all off fighting the war, unlike today, right?
Well, that certainly was I wouldn't say the beginning of the women's movement in manufacturing and in the military, but it sure gave it a big boost.
Well, I agree. You know, I mean
what are we going to tell them? Put down the riveter and pick up a dish rag? I don't think so, folks.
I think some of them probably did that, but a lot of them probably
but that would be by choice. It wasn't. Yeah, there was other things that a person.
I think you know, and again, looking from the male's perspective, what do we know? But I think it showed, you know, that they could do these things, and I think that gave them the confidence to keep pushing.
Oh, yeah. Folks, by the way, if you have a comment on it, come on. How about that guy down in Naples? Richard in Naples, if you got a comment, please give us a call, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We're going to be right back with Ray Hunter, chairman of the board of the Yankee Air Museum, and Dale Thronberry, co-founder, and helicopter pilot. He's an extraordinaire bon vivant. You got it all. So you're listening to Veterans Radio right here on WDEO 990 AM and at our website at www.veteransradio.net. We'll be right back after these most important messages. Stay tuned, please.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Red, white, and blue, I am for you. Honest, you're a grand old flag. You're a grand old flag. You're a high-flying flag. And forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land I love. The home of the free and the brave. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a ghost or brag. But should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on that grand old flag.
Oh yeah, James Cagney, one of my top five movies I've ever. Folks, you ever get a chance, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yeah, the story of George M. Cohan, who of course wrote that. You're a grand old flag. Love that boy.
Yeah,
that's World War One, right?
That is World War One. I just wanted to talk just briefly because yesterday was Flag Day, folks out there, and I have to say I'm a little disappointed in the lack of showing of flags. So, you know, go out there and get those flags. You can get them at any hardware store, Myers, everything else, anywhere. You can get a flag. And let's show these people, you know, that we really do care. And the other thing I wanted to mention for those of you that are veterans out there, it is allowed, I guess you could say, for us as veterans to deliver a hand salute now instead of, you know, just over our heart. And so we can deliver a hand salute anytime the flag goes by or if they're doing the national anthem at a ballpark. I was looking around Comerica Park the other day, and I finally picked up about three or four guys and two women that were saluting the flag.
Don't have to have a uniform on,
no,
correct?
No, you do not.
No, and because we're veterans,
that's right.
We have that privilege.
We have that privilege. And the other privilege that we have now, or the thing that really was cool, is that they did pass the Stolen Valor Act. You cannot wear medals that you are not entitled to. So all you wannabes out there, if you're running around with your Medal of Honor and Distinguished Flying Crosses and somebody calls you on it, you can go to jail now.
Oh, yeah, and they should.
You absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a dude down in Boca Raton, 84 years old, 84, 86, and he wore that Medal of Honor. He got it. Then later on they found out at a garage sale. Unfortunately, people don't know what to do with medals and things that are memorabilia.
Give them to the Yankee Air Museum or whatever local museum might be nearby. Because they're always looking for military medals.
Yes.
And certificates and so on and so forth. So if you don't want to keep your dad or your mom's or your wife's, you know, medals, give them to a museum. They would greatly appreciate them. I think as it's transitioned, we got to get into the Yankee Air Museum here, right?
Yes, and here we go, right with Ray Hunter, chairman of the board of Yankee Air Museum. It was the Arsenal of Democracy. They were building aircraft. I still got to think about this one every hour. I mean, well, I understand that part of the problem was they didn't have enough people to fly them off. from the end of the production. Is that true?
Well, towards the end of the war, certainly production was winding down, and many of the B-24s that were built never saw combat. But right now, the Yankee Air Museum will embark on an effort to save a piece of history, to save the arsenal of democracy, to save the World War II bomber plant. We've got a website set up. It's called www.savethebomberplant, and that's all one word, savethebomberplant.org.
And be sure it's .org, folks.
.org,
and
yes.
What happens when they go and access that website?
Well, first of all, you're going to see a history of the Willow Run bomber plant. You're going to see the kinds of objectives that the Yankee Air Museum is doing to save this critical piece of history. Truly, production of not only planes but tanks and engines and ammunition, production won the war. Hitler vastly underestimated the capability of U.S. production. And
its workers.
Literally.
And its workers. And its workers. That's right.
Literally, we told the enemy that we could build more planes and tanks than you could ever shoot down. And that is what did it for the World War II.
I know that part of the problem was that they just didn't have Germany didn't have enough pilots at the end, but we didn't have that. We were cranking them out and getting them right out of college, etc. Now, I want to get back to this. What is that called here? SaveTheBomberPlant.org. Folks, the Yankee Air Museum, by the way, if you're looking, what should we do for vacation, Helen? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can come down to Ypsilanti, Michigan. That's right, because it's right next door to Ann Arbor, and there's plenty of wonderful, and you got Detroit, and you have plenty of hotels, motels, restaurants, places to go. And when you make this one of, or part of your vacation stop, you can go to the Yankee Air Museum. And one of the things that they're going to do with this, folks, is to raise money to, how do you want to put this, Ray, to what make this a diorama of what?
We're looking to create a more exciting museum. We want to focus on education. We want to focus on the education behind aviation technology, the science, technology, engineering, and math. We've already got a great education program at the Yankee Air Museum, but we want to enhance it.
Is that education for who?
This is education for kids.
Oh, yeah, we got to keep them, informed.
People don't realize that people like Rosie the Riveter and Wilma, who we just talked to, this was a sociological change, and we want to focus on that. This was the beginnings of women's rights. This was probably the first time that women got equal pay for equal work. We had many of the sociological changes that took place over southeastern Michigan, the migration from the southern states. It was just a complete transformation of society. It was the beginning, as a matter of fact, of what we now call just-in-time manufacturing. Components from all over the United States were brought to Willow Run and then put together to create this B-24 bomber that was built there.
And now you, our listeners, and anybody else out there that is a veteran, non-veteran, can become a part of this. How can they, this fundraiser that you have, and this is all private funding, correct?
All private funding.
And you will be able to become a part of this. What do they have to do to become a part of this?
Well, go to SaveTheBomberPlant.org. You can buy 1 square foot of the bomber plant for $50. You can buy 100 square feet for $5,000. It's just a matter of helping this country realize the contributions that the workers of America did during World War II.
And it's up to us to preserve that history, and it's up to us to, like you with your education program, is give that to the kids. So I can write my check for $50 or beyond and have a piece of history. Is that correct?
You can buy a piece of history. Exactly, Bob.
Does your name go anywhere?
We will put you on our donor board. We'll make sure that you receive information on progress on how we're doing with the campaign.
And you mentioned a few other things. Is there a newsletter that comes out with this?
If you join the Yankee Air Museum as a member, and you can do that by going to yankeeairmuseum.org, It's a very small price to pay to become a member of a nationwide organization that's dedicated to preserving aviation history and the history of Southeast Michigan's contribution to World War II victory.
And it also, I know every year you folks have a wonderful air show.
Oh, it's called Thunder Over Michigan.
Thunder Over Michigan.
August.
Come right over my house, actually.
August 10th and 11th, we'll have major performers. This year we don't have a major jet team, but we've got the next best thing.
That's because of sequester.
That's the sequestration. You're correct, mm-hmm. Bob. None of the demonstration teams, including the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, will be flying this year.
What warbirds will you have?
We're going to have two nationally known aerobatic specialists. The first one is Bob Gullion, and the second one is Sean Tucker. We're going to have this year's theme is Vietnam. We're going to have some helicopters there. Hopefully, Dale will come out and look at them again.
Get a ride.
Oh yeah, we might be able to do that for you. We're going to have a World War II reenactment, a Vietnam reenactment. That's going to be a great opportunity for the people of this area to come out.
With something like that, are there plenty of bathrooms and food?
Absolutely.
So you can bring the whole family.
You can bring the whole family. There's going to be
wheelchair access, that whole business.
Yes, we're going to have plenty of activities for the kids. We've got rides, carnival-type rides for the kids in case they get bored. There's lots to do for everybody.
Yes.
Thunder Over Michigan, August 10th and 11th.
August 10th and the 11th. So you're going to be there at here we are at Willow Run. You're bringing mom, dad, even your mom and dad, grandpa, whatever. You can bring them. You can, again, make that your destination spot for your vacation and enjoy 2 days. Will there be any plane rides at that time?
And
we say that, folks. Now, there is a small fee for that. But you can go up in a B-17. Is that right?
Yes, you can book a ride on the B-17. You can do that anytime now. Just call 734-483-4030 and ask for Dave Wright.
Well, you better give that twice, man.
734-483-4030. Or you can also book a ride at yankeeairmuseum.org. Yankeeairmuseum.org is a place to book a ride in the B-17. This B-17 that we have, it's one of only 10 flying in the whole world, and I can tell you without bragging that it is the very best B-17 in the world. It is 98% authentic. When you get on board this B-17, you're going to hear the sights and sounds of World War II, minus all the shooting.
Amen. I was one very, very, very privileged to take a ride on that. Very quickly, we've got a Save the Bomber Plant. .org campaign on right now, and we're going to help put this over the top right here in Veterans Radio. And Ray Hunter has been our guest today. We've got about a minute and a half, so we're going to have to say our bye-byes. But once again, it's SaveTheBomberPlant.org or the YankeeAirMuseum.org. Become a member. Save a part of history. It's all something I love. Ray has something to add.
If you become a member of the Yankee Air Museum by going to YankeeAirMuseum.org, we will send you some free air show tickets for August 10th and 11th.
I like that. And that's all part of it, right?
Yes.
Oh, so you not only get a little piece of history that you get to contribute to, but you also get to see the air show. One more minute to go. Thank you very much. Ray, please come back on our program. Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you for letting me talk to the many listeners, and thanks to all the veterans from the Yankee Air Museum.
And we will be promoting that. Okay. Dale, what do you got next week?
Oh, next week we've got a Medal of Honor recipient that's going to be on the program, and I'm trying to look up his name. I think it's Bob Jones. For sure. Another exciting story of jet pilot who was captured and kept in North Vietnam. He's going to be at a dinner at the Washtenaw Country Club this coming Thursday night, but he'll be live in the studio on Saturday morning. So get ready, Medal of Honor.
Oh, that's going to be great. That's next week, right?
Next Saturday.
Okay. This is Bob Gould speaking for Dale Throneberry and Ray Hunter and Veterans Radio. To all your listeners out there, next week, tune in. Until then, you are dismissed.
Hey, All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.